بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. There are a few questions here. Some of these are very good questions. And inshallah we can provide at least a decent answer. What is the best thing for a wife and children to do if the husband is making money through haram means, pork, alcohol, etc.? In this situation, not all of the money, say if this is a store, not all of the money is from the haram. So in this case, you would just have to naturally encourage him to cease his un-Islamic behavior, but have entertain a good thought or husn al-dhan for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what you're eating from has been purchased from that percentage of the money that comes from selling the potato chips and other things that aren't haram. Are we responsible for our thought? For example, if I see an obese woman and I instantly say she knows she should lose some weight, to what extent do I become responsible for such an action? These thoughts that come to us is called khawatir. We're not responsible for those. As long as if they're negative, we don't let them grow. We push them away from us. And in a case like this, we don't let it lead us to have a bad opinion of the person. So if we think about it, it might push us to make nasiha, to search a person, to change their diet. And that's the best thing. But as long as the thought doesn't lead us to have a bad opinion of the person, if it's not a thought, something that's haram that comes to us, we should immediately eliminate it. Something that comes to us like that person should really lose some weight, we should try to push it away because it's not benefiting us in any way. But it could bring benefit in that if we think about it long enough and seriously enough with a good niyyah, it can lead us to give nasiha to that person. So that's the best thing. But in the final analysis, we shouldn't let it lead us to have a bad opinion of that person. It says, I am the only Muslim in my family. Wallahu alam. Allah knows best. The previous question. I am the only Muslim in my family. I understand that you mentioned that we shall only eat that which comes from a halal source. However, although my father makes over $40,000 a year, he pays dues a year, he does play the lottery. He often sends me gifts and asks me to come for dinner. How do I deal with this? First of all, he probably doesn't win much money from the lottery. So even though he plays, that's his problem, not yours. If he's doing something that's Islamically acceptable. And even if he isn't, in this case, or some of his earnings are not lawful, you should look at the overall picture of Islam. And in some cases, there's what we call a khafu dararain, or the lesser of two evils, the lesser of two harmful things. So your father working in an un-Islamic situation, if that's the case, the question doesn't indicate that, but we're dealing with the worst case scenario, would have to be weighed against your maintaining the blood ties with your family, and so which is very important, and against the harm of possibly eating something from haram earning at great intervals of time. So in light of that, you should try to go to these periodic dinners, especially if the money isn't from haram sources. If he's just playing the lottery, you would know if he won. Or so for the year after he wins the lottery, don't go to eat. No, I'm just kidding. But you have to always weigh out. And If going to dinner once in a while is going to maintain the blood ties and draw them nearer to Islam and give you a chance to make da'wah and let them see that Islam has made you a better person and not turned you into a monstrous terrorist, then it would be best to do that, even if it meant eating from something that's from a haram earning, because you're only doing this once in a while. Then what you're eating and what your basis of your nutrition is from what you're earning or what your husband is earning. There's maybe later on the issue of racism, classism, problem of oppression against women in our ummah in the context of purification of the heart. All of these things are manifestation of the diseases of the heart. The whole idea of people being better based on their physical composition or racist. This is racism is a satanic idea. Because Satan, when he was told to prostrate to Adam, he says, "I'm better than him. Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. I'm made from fire. He's made from mud. Fire is better than mud." So this distinguishing, I'm black, I'm better. I'm white, I'm better. This is a shaitanic mentality. And Muslims should have nothing to do with this. When one of the companions, I think was Abu Dharr, said to Bilal, "Ibn Saudat, you son of a black woman." And the Prophet heard about this. He said, you have jahiliyyah in you. You still have jahiliyyah. Anta rajulun fika jahiliyyah. Or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abu Dharr, he put his head down on the ground and told Bilal to step on his face, to step on his cheek. But Bilal didn't do that, radiallahu anhu. So this racism, and it's real in Islam. I mean, there are a lot of problems that are swept under the rugs that exist in our Muslim countries, they exist in our communities. Racism is real. And every country you find a division between the lighter northerners and the darker southerners, and the people make jokes about them and call people Sudani. If you go to Syria, yes, Sudani, and people looking at you and running across the street like they never saw a person who has a little color to them. So it's real, and we shouldn't run away from this, and we should confront it with Islam. The classism is real, the people separating themselves, and even they have high class masjids. The rich people go to this masjid, and if you're poor and you go there, people looking at you and like, "What you do? What are you doing here?" And so these things are real, but this takes a separate program to really deal with. And the oppression of women, this is very real, and there's no excuse for it in this country. Like Islam, a lot of the urf or the customs that exist in Muslim countries that inform attitudes towards women have nothing to do with Islam. So in this country, where a person interacts freely with women in a professional manner, not in a necessarily loose, lewd manner, we're conditioned from birth. We're constantly interacting with women. Then we become Muslim and we act like a woman is infected with some bacteria that will spread on sight. And it's a strange thing if you think about it. You know, what has happened? So, for example, a person will sit in a brother will sit in his lecture hall and listen to the woman professor lecture and take notes and never break stride. And then if a sister says one thing, excuse me, but, you know, this is strange behavior that has no basis. A woman's voice isn't part of her aura. It's not part of that which has to be concealed. But there are limits. I mean, there should be not exaggeration, seductiveness, etc. on either side, but to have just such a strange attitude that we import from countries where these go on, and that's not reality here, is something that we have to start trying to get beyond. But as I said, this takes a whole program. And these things do affect the heart. Because if you're imitating Shaitan for all practical purposes, this is going to affect your heart. You think, I'm better than everyone else because of my physical color. So just like Shaitan said, I'm better than Adam because of my physical composition. I'm made from fire. He's made from clay. So you're imitating Shaitan and think this doesn't affect your heart. This affects your heart. You think you're better because you live in a certain neighborhood. And as a result of living there, you're not making any da'wah, because none of your neighbors want to hear anything about Islam. You're wasting your money because you live in this overpriced ticky-tack house. You could have bought a block in the middle of the city somewhere for the money you're spending. And then you're building a masjid that people only go to on Jummah and Sunday because it's too far to drive five prayers there. You spend all your life driving, you know. Where are you going? To Boston? No, I'm going to Fajr. So, and then the roof is leaking the first year of construction because the contractor ripped you off building it. You could have bought 10 warehouses in the city and just fixed them up and had massive masjid, community center, da'wah center. So we have to get away from this whole classist attitude and realize we're one community, we're one ummah, the racism, the sexism. We have to get away from these things. And because we suffer, our communities suffer. The racism there, you know, people, they'll see you doing something. Like, how'd you get a big article like that in the paper? You know, we had our program recently, the next day and the day before, big articles in the paper, nice pictures. Because some of the believers who weren't always Muslims know these people. But if you're in an inner city area, most of the believers, probably they're going to be African American. But they know people. I mean, we were human beings before we became Muslims. So someone happens to know the editor of the newspaper. Someone happens to know the owner of this business. One brother knows the mayor. So how'd you brothers get the Coliseum for $11,000? Because one brother is a friend of the mayor and got on the phone and called the mayor and said, you know, this is really too high, we can't afford it. And the mayor called the Coliseum and said, drop the service charges, just give it to them at cost. So we end up paying $11,000 instead of 20-something thousand. So, but people who are not willing to learn who people are, put their hands in the hands of their brother, work together, don't have those advantages. So you're isolated out in the suburbs somewhere with your million-dollar mosque with the roof leaking. And so anyway, in any case, we have to get beyond these things because they do affect us. But to deal with it adequately, we would have to really take a lot of time. In fact, it would take like a weekend. In finance, one, would you recommend or discourage Muslims from accepting academic scholarships to non-Islamic college? I wouldn't at this point. I'm sure there's some Shari implications that need to be investigated. But as I haven't investigated them, I will not comment in a way that might jeopardize someone's education. Because the origin, the asal in all things is permissibility. So until someone investigates and say, no, you can't do this, I'm not willing at this time to do it. Should we refrain from calling God your niggas and each other our Muslim names or loving? All these terms should be a name. We shouldn't use derogatory terms that were invented by the kuffar. Even if the derogatory nature of these terms hasn't been, when we were growing up, anyone called you a nigger, no matter what color they wore, it was a fight. And now it's like popular culture. You know, you have songs and rap songs and poems, and it's full with this word. And even Richard Pryor, I mean, when he went to Africa, he stopped using the word nigger in his acts because he realized that, look, dude, we have dignified people. And he went to Africa and he saw people running countries and building things and doing big things. And he realized that, you know, this self-hatred and self-denigration is unacceptable. So this is totally unacceptable. Or similar names. We should not use any of these names. And the Quran tells us, don't call each other by demeaning nicknames. So we should not use these. And we shouldn't use nicknames like Muhammad Mo, Aisha Shah. And because then this might mean something negative in Arabic. Because Arabic is a very intricate language. So you drop a letter and you're calling someone something derogatory. So the name is a source of identification for oneself, and you're identifying with someone from your righteous predecessors, the names of the Prophet. You're identifying with the Prophet, peace be upon them. The name of our messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we wouldn't want anyone calling our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his lifetime, Mo. Oh, you follow Mo? Astaghfirullah. So we shouldn't accept these kind of things. And we shouldn't call a Muslim by just, you know, Dawood, David. Hi, Dave. How are things today? So we should try to have a nice name. Anyway, we'll come back to this later, inshallah. We'll move on with the text. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidi al-Mursaleen. Wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So he says, وَاسْتَشْعِرِ وَاسْتَشْعِرِ الْيَأْسَ وَحُسْنَ الْفَقَرِ. He says, make your independence from the people, not relying and asking things from the people, make this your slogan, and deal with poverty in a dignified manner. So if we're tested with poverty, we should deal with it with dignity. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. And persevere through the trials that afflict you. Don't lose hope, don't despair that Allah will relieve you from this thing, but persevere with dignity. وَارْضَى بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. And be pleased with what Allah has deproportioned out from you. وَكُنْ مِنْ وَعَدِ اللَّهِ عَلَى يَقِينٍ وَعَلَى آثَارِكَ فِي وَجَلْ. And be absolutely certain concerning what Allah Ta'ala has promised you, but be fearful that anything that you've done has been accepted. So this is what we were talking about earlier. We shouldn't assume our deeds are accepted, but we should be confident and certain that the promise of Allah is true. And Allah says He won't wrong us in any way. And this is the beauty of Islam. If you ask any Muslim on the face of the earth, are you going to Jannah? And a Christian will do this. They'll say, you know I'm saved. I've accepted Jesus as my personal savior. I'm saved. Even as they swig down a shot of Bacardi. I'm saved. I accept Jesus. I go to church every Sunday. Even as they play craps and drink. And I'm saved. But you ask any Muslim, no matter how righteous or pious or learned, are you going to heaven? No Muslim will say yes. But the Muslim has peace of mind. And the Muslim has confidence that the promise of Allah is true. So the fact that we can't say yes doesn't fill us with gloom and dread, because we balance between things, and we know that the promise of Allah is true, and that Allah does not oppress His servant, and we have good hope towards Allah, and we know that the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be so numerous in Jannah, they'll overwhelm all other nations. They'll be like a black mass. So we have confidence, but we don't assume and take anything for granted. He said, and do not burden yourself with what you've been given sufficiency in. So if we have and we should live decently, especially if Allah Ta'ala blesses us with the means, but we shouldn't be extravagant and seek for unnecessary increases. وَلَا تُضِيعَنَّ وَلَا تُضِيعَنَّ مَا وُكِّلْتَ بِطَلَبِهِ. And don't squander that which you've been entrusted to seek. So we've been entrusted to worship Allah. We've been entrusted to our commission to seek His pleasure, etc. We shouldn't let those things go and let those things be lost. We should undertake these responsibilities and duties and be responsible in this regard. وَفْتَقِيُوا لَلَّهِ فِي كُلِ عَتَائِهِ. And acknowledge your need for Allah in everything that He gives you. Everything that Allah gives us, we accept and we acknowledge that we need this and we are in constant need of Allah. وَرْغَبْ فِي النَّجَاةِ مِنْهِ. And long for salvation from Allah. That Allah, as we said a little while ago, Allah, we long that He will save us and that He will enter us into His paradise. And we entertain hope for this. We don't despair from this. وَعْفُ عَمَّنْ وَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ. And overlook those who oppress you. وَعَاطِي مَنْ حَرَمَكْ. And give to those who deny you. We were mentioning yesterday the Christmas card thing. So someone doesn't give you a card, you don't give them a card. They didn't give you a gift, you don't give them a gift. A Muslim is the opposite. Someone doesn't give you a gift, you give them a gift. Because we try to be kareem. And let Allah Ta'ala deal with any shortcomings in the person. It's not for us to do. We just give and try to imitate our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So give to those who deny you. وَصِلْ فِي اللَّهِ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ. And join relationships with those who have cut you off. So someone stops speaking to you, don't, well, I'm not speaking to them ever until they speak to me. Go speak to them. Because it's for Allah. It's not for you and it's not for them. It's for the sake of Allah. وَآثِي فِي اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحَبَّكْ. And give preference for the sake of Allah those who love you. وَبْرُلْ نَفْسَكَ وَمَالَكَ لِإِخْوَانِكَ. And spend your wealth of yourself, your time, your energy, and your money for the sake of your brothers. وَرْعَ حُقُوقَ الْمَوْلَى فِي دِينِكَ. And be mindful of the right that you owe to Allah, to your Lord, and your religion. And there's another meaning, this should rather be وَرْعَ حُقُوقَ الْمَوْلَى فِي دِينِكَ. This be mindful of the rights owed to your servant for the sake of your deen. But a general meaning is, most of us don't have servants nowadays, anyone under your authority, be mindful in how you treat them for the sake of your deen. Don't transgress the rules and prescriptions of our deen by oppressing those people. So anyone under our children or wives or employees or anyone that's under our authority, we should be mindful to give them their full rights. Why? For our sake? No, for the sake of our deen and for the sake of our salvation. وَلَا يَعْظُمْكَ كَبِيرٌ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ تَفْعَلُهُ. Don't let a lot of good deeds that you've done make you arrogant. So I prayed so much, I gave so much, I fasted so much. Don't let that arrogate you. Because that abundance of deeds, we don't know if it's accepted or not. If we had a cloth in it, if we did it strictly for Allah. وَلَا تَحْكِرَنَّ صَغِيرًا مِنَ الْمُنْكَرِ تَفْعَلُهُ. And don't treat the smallest wrong that you do as insignificant. It's just a little lie. Nothing that we do of wrong we should treat as insignificant. And nothing we do of good, no matter how great, we should treat as something great that exalts us. وَحْذَرِ الْوَحْذَرِ التَّزَيُّن بِالْعِلْمِ. And don't show off with your knowledge. Beware of showing off with your knowledge. And as we said, unless there's a need, then we're silent. And we don't try to put ourselves above people. كَمَا تَحْذَرُ الْعُجْبَ فِي الْعَمَلِ. Just as you are careful not to be proud and arrogant concerning your worship that you do. وَلَا تَعْتَقِدَنَّ بَعْتِنًا مِنَ الْأَدَبِ يَنْقُضُهُ عَلَيْكَ ظَاهِرٌ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And then he says, rahimahullah, he says, don't think that you'll benefit from some manners or adab that you manifest when they've been negated by your failure to act outwardly on the basis of knowledge. So in other words, you don't do things right in your basic worship, but expect that you talk to people in a nice manner. That'll compensate for that. It doesn't compensate. That's one meaning. Another meaning, wallahu alam, don't think that you will benefit from some inner virtue which is nullified by some outward knowledge that you vainly display. So if we are manifesting arrogance in our knowledge, our outward knowledge, we shouldn't think that having some inner manners or etiquettes are going to benefit us. Wallahu alam. وَأَتِعِ اللَّهَ وَأَتِعِ اللَّهَ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ النَّاسِ. And obey Allah even if it means disobeying the people. وَلَا تُطْعِ النَّاسَ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. And never obey the people if it means disobeying Allah. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, فَإِنَّهُ لَطَاعَتِي لِلْقَوْقِ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. That there's no obedience owed to the creatures or human beings if it means disobeying the Creator.
وَلَا تَدَّخِّرَنَّ مِنْ جُهْدِكَ عَنِ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا.
And don't think that any of your actions have been accepted by Allah, hence they're stored up with Allah and waiting for you.
وَلَا تَرْضَى مِنْ نَفْسِكَ لِلَّهِ عَمَلًا.
And don't be pleased with yourself for any action that you do for the sake of Allah. Don't let this make you complacent and pleased and think that we've done something. We should always be humble in this regard.
وَقُمْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ فِي صَلَاتِكَ جُمْلَةً.
And when you pray to Allah with your entire being, with your body, with your heart, with your spirit, with everything that you put, with your body, your heart, and your intellect. So our salah should be a total, comprehensive salah.
وَأَدِّي زَكَاتَ مَفْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ بِالنَّشَاطِ وَالرَّغْبَةِ.
Deliver up the mandatory, obligatory charity, the charity that Allah has made obligatory upon you, with eagerness and longing for reward from Allah Ta'ala.
وَاحْفَظْ صَوْمَكَ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ وَالْغِيبَةِ.
And protect your fasting, the reward of your fasting, from lying, slander, backbiting, and other crimes of the tongue.
وَرْعَ حَقَّ الْجَارِ وَالْمِسْكِينِ وَالْقَرِيبِ.
And be mindful of the right that's owed to the neighbor and to the indigent person and to the relative. So all of these rights we should be mindful of. That's why the person that asked about going to dinner with the non-Muslim father who plays the lottery, we should go.
we should go. Let them know our dietary restrictions. Even we'll bring the dish that we're going to eat, but we're going to eat it with you guys. To maintain the relations and the right that's owed to the relative. وَأَدِّبْ أَهْلَكَ And teach manners to your family. وَارْفُقْ بِمَا مَلَكَتْ يَمِينُكَ And be merciful to, and this is relevant in these days, any of the servants you might possess. Be merciful to them. وَكُنْ قُوَّامًا بِالنَّشَاطِ كَمَا أَمَرَكَ And be upright and energetic in undertaking your religious duties as you've been commanded to be. or be upright and just in general as you've been ordered, as you've been commanded. وَإِذَا حُرِّكْتَ لِخَيْرٍ فَتَعَجَّلْهُ And when an opportunity, Allah Ta'ala gives you an opportunity to do good, then hasten to do it. Because this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. An opportunity to do good is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. We should take the gift before it's the opportunity to take it passes. So this good deed that we have a chance to do, we should hasten to do it. An example of this. It's good. We visit someone we haven't seen in a long time and we're fasting. A voluntary fast. And the person offers us food and to eat. It's more good to eat their food because this is a passing good. Whereas the fast, we can make up the fast tomorrow. We can make up our nawafil. But we can't make up the opportunity to share the food of this person, thereby making them happy and giving them blessings. It's blessings in feeding a person. So we shouldn't let that opportunity pass. We should hasten to do it. وَمَشْتَبَهَ عَلَيْكَ فَدَعْهُ Any matter that's doubtful, you should leave it. We should leave it. So we're not clear of the ruling. Is it lawful or not? We should leave it. وَزَّمِ الرَّحْمَةَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ And always be merciful to the believers. This is Muhammadun Rasulullah وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Those with him, they are stern with the enemies of Islam and even those enemies that are antagonistic to them. And not those non-antagonistic enemies. And they are merciful amongst each other. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ So this is a characteristic of our people. وَقُلِ الْحَقَّ وَقُلِ الْحَقَّ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ And say the truth wherever you are. وَلَا تُكْثُرُ الْأَيْمَانَ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ صَادِقًا And don't be excessive in making oaths, even if you are a truthful person. Because what this does, this puts a person in a situation where the person is exposed to being a liar. And it might not be consciously, but things can intervene, then we can't keep the pledge or the oath. That's why when we have fundraisers, we don't ask people for pledges. Like, write out, I promise $1 million over the next 300 years. Because that's an oath that the person is making. And an oath becomes binding. And then when they don't fulfill it, it's a sin. It's a sin. So we try to avoid this. As much as possible. وَحْذَرِ التَّوَصُّعَ فِي الْمَنْطَقِ وَإِن كُنْتَ بَلِيغًا And beware of being flowery and excessive in your speech, even if you're naturally eloquent. You try to tone it down. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالتَّكَلُّفَ فِي الدِّينِ وَإِن كُنْتَ عَالِمًا And don't overburden yourself in deen, even if you are a scholar.
Like, don't take on more than you can realistically handle.
وَقَدَّمْ الْعِلْمَ قَبْلَ كُلِّ مَقَالٍ.
And know the ruling of everything you speak before you speak. So only speak based on knowledge. Is this kalam that I'm about to speak lawful or unlawful? If it's unlawful, we refrain from it going forth from our mouth. He says in one of the notes concerning don't be excessive in making oaths, even if you are honest. He says this is because the person who swears or takes an oath, either he will fulfill it or he will break it. If he breaks it, then he's betrayed the oath that he's given and he's fallen into sin. Or he will regret, he will fulfill it, but he might regret fulfilling it because it's an oath that was unrealistic or that placed him in great difficulty. So even though he fulfills it, it causes him hardship or it causes him sadness. For we lose the pledge. So the guy says, or the lady says, I pledge to give $1,000 a year for the next 10 years. And then something happens and they need that money for something else. But they're honest and truthful, so they spend that money and they give it for the oath. And then the operation that their child needs, that would help the child but is not absolutely indispensable, they can't do. Because they know this is a binding oath that I've made. So now either they break the oath and fall into sin, or they implement the oath and now they're in a situation that saddens them. So for this reason, he says, even if you're honest, don't be excessive in making oaths. Because you could give the money anyway. You just say to yourself, I'll try to give these people $1,000 a year. But you haven't made an oath. So when it's easy, you give it. When it's not easy, you need the money for something else, you don't give it. And then he says, rahimahullah,
وَقَدَّمُ الْعِلْمَ قَبْلَ كُلِّ مَقَالٍ. Only speak on the basis of knowledge. وَزَّمُ الْإِشْفَاقَ بَعْدَ الْإِجْتِهَادِ. Even after you've exerted yourself, that you've done everything to arrive at the right opinion, still be fearful that this thing or whatever you're doing might not be acceptable. Why? So that you don't become complacent or arrogant. وَدَارٍ نَاسَ مَسَلِمَ لَكَ الدِّينِ. And try to please people and make people happy as long as you don't compromise your deen. So this is called مُدَارَة. And they say, the Arabs, they have a saying, دَارِهِمْ مَا دُمْتَ فِي دَارِهِمْ. To make them happy and please them as long as you're in their house. And this is called jinas. As a form of, in balaga, in badia, the jinas, to use the same word or a word that's very close, that but it has two different meanings. So darihim, this is fil amr, from dara, you dari, darihim, ma dumta fi darihim. And the second dar is the house, which is an ism or a noun. So two words, darihim, ma dumta fi darihim. Wa ardihim, please them, fil amr, ma dumta fi ardihim. And it's as long as you're in their land. So anyway, please people as long as you don't compromise deen. So an example of this, for example, a brother is going to a new Muslim's wedding. And he knows that these are new Muslims, a lot of his non-Muslim friends will be there, and he's trying to give them da'wah and give them a good impression of Islam. And the brother, he likes to wear a jalabiya and to keep his miswak in his mouth, even when he's not cleaning his teeth. So the new Muslim asked, he said, you know, could you wear some kind of Western-looking clothes?
And he has some loose Islamic acceptable Western clothes. He should wear that. And this is what it means to dad, mudara, to make people happy as long as you're not compromising your deen. He's not compromising his deen. And, you know, could you just, you know, just use the miswak in the bathroom to clean your teeth, but don't chew on it in front of all the people. And this isn't compromising his deen. There's nothing in our deen that says you have to have your miswak hanging out of your mouth constantly. In fact, this could be a negative thing. This could be a form of riyah or showing off. Like, you want people to know, I use a miswak, I adhere to sunnah. So, you know, your miswak's always hanging out of your mouth. So everywhere you go, so we have an actual demonstration. So if he asks you, no, just could you put the miswak up? You should put it up. And this, because this is part of deen. This is called mudara. To please people, as long as you don't compromise deen. When you compromise deen, then it's called mudahana, which we spoke about yesterday. So we should try to please people as long as we don't compromise deen. Or a sister who wears niqab, and a new Muslim sister is going to have her friends over to give dawah, and there are only women there. So she says, you know, could you just uncover your face just until my non-Muslim friends leave? Says, no, just the sunnah, I'm not uncovering. No, she should uncover her face because she's not compromising her deen and she's making her fellow Muslim happy. And this is how we are. We're people who try to make people happy as long as we don't compromise deen. وَحْذِرِ الْمُدَاهَنَ أَصْلًا. But never even contemplate being two-faced. وَقَالِكَ النَّاسِ بِقُولُكَ حَسَنٌ. And treat people with good character. And this is the end of a hadith, sahih hadith, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ وَالْبِسْعِيَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوهَا وَخَالِكَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُكٍ حَسَنٍ. Fear Allah wherever you are, and follow up a misdeed you might do with a good deed that will wipe it out. Whenever we slip, do a good deed. The slip is only one against you. The good deed is 10 for you. The 10 wipes out the one. وَخَالَقَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُكٍ حَسَنٍ. And treat the people in a good way. So, like, if we tell a lie, try to go back to the place you tell a lie and make some dhikr. Then when that spot bears witness for you on the Day of Judgment, it will bear witness with more good than more bad. So, to go back to the actual place that we did the sin, and then do some good deeds. Because every spot that we inhabited on this earth is going to bear witness for us. That's why we pray in different places in the masjid. So these different places in the masjid will all bear witness. He or she prayed here. He or she prayed here, prayed there. And they will bear witness for our wrong also. So when we do a wrong, we try as much as humanly possible to do a good deed in the same spot. So that place will have more good to say about us than bad. Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, when Allah will give everything the ability to speak. وَلَا تَسْتَحِيَنَّ أَن تَقُولَ فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمْ لَعَلَمْ. And don't be ashamed to say concerning the things that one doesn't know, I don't know. وَلَا تَنْشُرْ حَدِيثَكَ عِنْدَ مَنْ لَا يُرِيدُ. And don't waste your speech on someone that doesn't want to listen to you. Because then we're arrogating ourselves by imposing ourselves on people. And like, you must listen to me because I'm so important. So if they don't want to listen, then we shut up. We say, MashaAllah. وَلَا تَبْغُلْ دِينَكَ عِنْدَ مَنْ يُبَغِّضُهُ إِلَيْكَ. And don't squander your deen on one who hates it in you. So don't be in the company of people that hate your deen, because you're wasting your deen with those people. وَلَا تَتَعَرَّضْ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَكَ بِهِ. And don't expose yourself to a trial that you don't have the ability to bear. In other words, don't pray. Allah might put us in a testing trial, but Allah Ta'ala says what? Allah Ta'ala doesn't place upon us a burden greater than we can bear. Allah Ta'ala doesn't afflict us with a trial we can't stand. But we might put ourselves in a trial that we can't bear. So we should be careful not to do that to ourselves, because by so doing we're oppressing ourselves. وَأَكْرِمْ نَفْسَكَ عَمَّنْ يُهِينُهَا. And honor yourself above those who debase you or belittle you. In other words, Allah Ta'ala says He's dignified the human being in general, ennobled the human being. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. That we have dignified and ennobled the human being. We shouldn't belittle ourselves and expose ourselves to ridicule and belittlement. So someone's belittling us, we leave. We go away. We don't allow ourselves to be belittled, because Allah has dignified us as a human being, and then He's added to that and dignified us and ennobled us with Islam and with taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمْكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So we mentioned yesterday, there's a relationship between our nobility and our piety. So as people are trying to be pious, we don't expose ourselves to ridicule, insult, belittlement, because we're allowing that which Allah Ta'ala has ennobled to be debased. So this isn't something we do. We leave those situations and remove ourselves from those situations. وَنَزِّهْ هِمَّتَكَ عَنْ دِنَاءَةِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And elevate your spiritual aspiration by allowing yourself to be pulled down by vile character. So such as a Muslim swearing and using the profanity of these people. That's pulling ourselves down with vile character from what should be a high aspiration. We're aspiring for Allah. How can a person aspiring for Allah and aspiring for Jannah walk around, you know, man, D this and F that and this? And this is negating to our spiritual aspiration. Even to listen to it. A Muslim shouldn't listen to this filth unless there's a haja. There's a need, a shar'i need that's being met by it. ولا تواخي إلا أمينا. And don't take as a brother or as a sister in Islam anyone except one who is trustworthy. So we enter into formal ties of brotherhood with our fellow Muslim. Say, I take you as my brother in Islam, as my sister in Islam. My wealth is your wealth, etc. And we should only enter into that high level of brotherhood with someone who's trustworthy. وَلَا تُبْدِي أَسْرَارَكَ لِكُلِّ النَّاسِ. And don't reveal your secrets to everyone. Because the secrets are things that Allah Ta'ala has covered up. And we shouldn't reveal these to everyone. Only to people that have a need to know. If there's a need to know, we reveal the secret. If there's no need to know, we cover up what Allah Ta'ala has covered up. وَلَا تُجَاوِزْ. But if there is a need that's shar'i, then we have to reveal it. This is a secret, I can't tell you. So the sister that's running after us with the gun, after we rushed her into the marriage with this brother, hurry up, sister, hurry up, he's a good brother, there's 10 sisters waiting, get him now. Then why didn't you tell me that he drank near beer? Because it was a secret, sister. He told me not to tell anybody that he was a recovering alcoholic. I couldn't reveal the brother's secrets. In that case, it's Sharia duty for you to reveal the negative things about someone. And if you don't, you're sinning. If you don't, you're sinning. So if someone asks you advice, you know, brother, sister, whoever the case, I want to marry this brother, this sister, and I know it's your friend, and do you think he or she will be a good husband or a good wife? You have to tell the truth. You know, no, I don't, because this, that, and the other. He says, this is the greatest brother since Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. This brother, he's my friend after all. I wouldn't hang out with people. No, you have to tell the truth. And if you don't, you're sinning.
وَلَا تُبْدِي وَلَا تُبْدِي أَسْرَارَكَ لِكُلِّ النَّاسِ.
Don't reveal your secrets to everyone. وَلَا تُجَاوِزْ
بِالْمَرْءِ بِالْمَرْءِ حَالَهُ.
And don't treat a person in a manner unbefitting him. So if, treat people according to their rank. If a person is a dignitary, treat them as a dignitary. The Prophet said, place people in their rightful places. And if the person is an ordinary person, treat that person like an ordinary person. Don't act like some big shot or dignitary. Treat them as an ordinary person, with all due respect. So don't elevate a person above their situation or their state.
وَلَا تُقَاطِبْهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ بِمَا لَا يَحْتَمِلُهُ عَقْلُهُ.
And don't address him with knowledge that his intellect can't bear. So address people to their level. You're speaking to a crowd of Muslims in a public place, Muslims from every level. You don't give them a technical talk about some technical aspect of Sharia. And this is a big problem nowadays. You listen to some khutbahs in some place, and you have to be an alim to understand, you know, what the imam's saying. You know, alhamdulillah, some of the brothers and sisters are doing this, but according to Imam so-and-so, the hadith they use as dalil is unacceptable for evidence because there's an illah, and this illah has been revealed by Imam al-Darqutni, but when we see that Imam Hakim has reassessed the hadith and declared it sound, and Mustadrak and Imam Dhahabi agreed with him, and Dhahabi يوافق Imam al-Hakim, إذن موافقة الذهبي معنى ذلك الحديث صحيح. ولكن في هذا الحديث في الرواية الثانية عند إمام فلان نجد بأن قد تكل ما في هذا الرجل بعض المحدثين. And the person sleeping, and they're supposed to be a Jummah being uplifted, and they're like wondering, you know, what the heck is this guy talking about? So you address people with a lot of knowledge, of a level of knowledge that they can understand. وَلِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. Every situation has an appropriate speech. وَلَا تَدْخُلْ فِي أَمْرٍ لَمْ يُدْعَى إِلَيْهِ. Don't enter into something that haven't been invited to enter into. In other words, mind your business. Don't enter into something your participation hasn't been elicited. وَوَقِّرْ مَجَالِسَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And reverence the sittings of the scholars. وَعَرِفْ قَدْرَ الْحُكَمَاءِ. And know the esteem of the wise people. وَلَا تَدْعَ الْمُكَافَأَةَ وَالصَّنَاعَ. And don't neglect recompensing any good deed that's done for you. Any good deed that's done for you, don't neglect. This waw, for those reading in there, this is waw al-ma'iyya. So that's why the sana'a here is mansub. So don't recompense a good deed that's done for you. So it would be awkward to translate if you consider this to be a conjunction, this well, an ordinary conjunction. وَعَادِدْ عَنِ الْجُهَالِ. Turn away from ignorant people. As Muslims, we don't waste our time with ignorant people. We respect this. Salaamu alaikum. وَإِذَا قَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. So someone's just railing away,
you know, I think Islam, you're all a bunch of terrorists, because I saw a movie where Muslims were,
so nah, that's ilm right there, you know.
I saw a movie and you people hijacked, and then this poor old man, they threw him off the ship and it was so terrible. You are a bunch of terrorists.
And then you start coming back and retaliating. It's you know, peace be upon you. May you have a nice day. And, you know, go, and when you go to the store, buy them some flowers, knock on their door. Here, these are for you, Mr. Jones, and have a nice day. And now he's really messed up. Wow. Is there a bomb in these flowers? Exploding flowers. وَحْلُمْ عَنِ السُّفَهَاءِ. And be forbearing with fools, because they don't know better. So just forbear, persevere, you know, right?
You're an idiot.
Okay, if you think so. You go on elaborate defense, and the person, his mind isn't all there.
Idiot, how could you? Do you know which college I went to? Do you know, I graduated cum laude. I know him. I went to high school with him. He has a brother named London. Lloyds of London. He's a fool.
Just forbear. MashaAllah. Be quiet and take the abuse. وَشَاوِرْ فِي الْأَمْرِكَ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ اللَّهِ. And take consultation in your affair from those who fear Allah. Seek out God-fearing people to get advice from. وَانْصُرْ أَخَاكَ مَظْلُومًا. And help your brother when he's oppressed. وَرُدَّهُ إِلَى الْحَقِّ إِنْ كَانَ ظَالِمًا. And turn him back to the path of truth and right if he's an oppressor. وَبْذُلْ لَهُ حَقَّهُ مِنْكَ. And give him, exert and strive to give him the full right that is owed from you. As we said, a Muslim doesn't demand his right in full. Someone borrowed $20 from you and they pay you back $15. So, and you don't need the $5. Don't argue with them.
You took $20, I'll never speak to you. If you needed to borrow a nickel to make a phone call, I wouldn't give it to you. I'll never trust you again. Over $5. It's alhamdulillah. Was it 15? I'm not sure. I thought it was 20, but maybe it was 15. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair, brother. You sure you don't need this 15? That's how a Muslim is.
But when someone has a right for us, we give it full. Give the $20 as fast as we can. So we exert ourselves to give the rights that are owed from us. وَلَا تُطَلِّبْهُ فِي حَقِّكَ مِنْهُ. And this is what we just said. Don't seek him and push him to take from him the right he owes to you. So, and this is a high khuluq, high character. And this is what we strive for. And this is how Rasulullah was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَسِّرْ عَلَى الْغَرِيمِ. And be easy for the ones who owe a debt to you, your debtors. If you don't need the money, give them time. Let them have time. Don't squeeze them if you don't have to. وَارْفُقْ بِالْأَرْمِلَةِ وَالْيَتِيمِ. And be gentle and kind in your treatment of the orphans and the widows and the orphans. وَأَكْرَمِ, like people in our community should never be left. Orphans should not be left without attention. Widows should not be left. People should visit the widows, make sure their needs are met, etc. وَأَكْرَمِ الصَّابِرِينَ مِنَ الْفُقَرَاءِ. And treat in the most honored of ways those poor people who patiently persevere with their poverty. Because they're the most dignified of people. And people used to be very dignified in poverty. There were poor people that never asked anything. They never dealt with any welfare or anything. They scraped by, and when you saw them, they were happy. They would give you advice. That's how people used to be. And we should try to be like that. And people who are like that, especially from amongst the Muslims, should be given the best of treatment, because they're the best of people. وَرْحَمْ أَهْلَ الْبَلَاءِ مِنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ. And be merciful to those rich people who are being put through the trial of being rich. So be merciful to them. Give them sincere advice, you know, try to encourage them to worship Allah more, come out to the mosque, take a day off once in a while. Don't demand their money. And all of these are forms of mercy for them.
وَلَا تَحْسُدَنَّ أَحْدًا عَلَى نِعْمَةً.
And don't envy anyone for a blessing Allah has given them. And when you find yourself, what do you do when you find yourself envying someone? Ask that Allah gives that person more. And that's one of the greatest cures for envy. You envy someone you think is more knowledgeable than you, Allah, increase so-and-so in knowledge. Give them more knowledge. They have a nicer car, Allah, give them a better car, etc. This is one of the greatest cures for envy. Why? Because we don't have time to be envious. We have our work to get on with. We have to try to strive to improve ourselves, to get it, make it to Jannah. What a person has been blessed with from Allah, that's what Allah decreed for that person. So for envy is a rejection of the decree of Allah Ta'ala.
وَلَا تَذْكُرْ أَحَدًا بِغِيبَةً.
Don't mention anyone in a way that they would not wish for you to speak concerning them. And this, we have to be real careful. In Muslims, like a lot of times, a Muslim, right, might be a Sufi. So we talk about a Sufi or a Salafi. It's still a Muslim, that's Salafi. And they wouldn't like us to be mentioning them in these terms. He's a Diobandi, he's a Brelafi, he's this or that. Yeah, they do this and that. We shouldn't even use these labels as much as possible. We should try, when we're talking about specific human beings, we shouldn't use these labels, because most people don't like to be labeled. Even if they identify with a certain group, they might not identify with everything 100%. And when you put a label on people, you're assuming that everything that's true for or associated with that label is true for that person. And they might not like that. So we should try to avoid this as much as possible.
وَسُدَّ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بَابَ سُعُ الظَّنِّي بِخَوْفِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ.
And you should drive away from yourself having bad thoughts concerning Allah or bad thoughts concerning other people, fearing the time that you're going to be asked about it. So in other words, we're going to stand before Allah, and we have to ask, why did you think bad of so and so? We better have a good answer. We better have a good answer. So if we don't have a good answer, حسن الظن, we think good of the person.
وَفْتَحْ بَابَ حُسْنُ الظَّنِّي بِسَعَةِ التَّأْوِيلِ.
And we mentioned this, he mentioned this yesterday, we commented on it. He says, and open up the door that leads to having a good opinion of people by having an expansive interpretation for things. Even if it's a wild interpretation, we make it so that we have entertained good for that person. Now, we mentioned that yesterday, we see someone coming out of a bar or a nightclub, and it's pretty wild to think that they went in there to get out a person they're pulling dawah, giving dawah to. And they told the person, if you ever go in a nightclub, I'm going to go in and get you. It's better to think that than to think, man, this person, he's slipping.
He's hanging out at night. He's going in the nightclub. Is he drinking in there? What company is he keeping? So it's better to do this to make some wild explanation that might be true, that keeps your good opinion of the soundness of this person's Islam, than to have su'udhan. Because su'udhan is negative and bad, and we have to answer to Allah Ta'ala for it. We don't have to answer to Allah Ta'ala that we thought this person went in to rescue his friend he was giving da'wah to. But if we think bad of that person, we have to answer to Allah Ta'ala. وَأَغْلَقْ بَابَ الطَّمْعِ بِالْإِيَاسِ بِالْإِيَاسِ He said, and close the door that leads to your greed and longing for things that people have by despairing of the leaving the thought that people can help you in any way. Despairing of being helped by the people. So why should you long for something that they can't give you? They can't give me anything. Everything I get comes from Allah. It's from Allah. So why am I longing for this thing from that person? وَاسْتَفْتِحْ بَابَ الْغِنَى بِالْقِنَاءِ Open up the gate, the door of contentment for yourself, or wealth for yourself with contentment. So because whatever Allah has given you, you're content with, you're wealthy. And we mentioned this yesterday. So open the door, and you can notice the beauty of the language and the simile and allegory that's being applied here. وَنَزِّهْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ عَنْ إِضَافَةِ الْمَكَارِهِ And remove Allah, remove yourself from ever mentioning Allah in connection with bad or something negative. And this is called حسن الأدب مع الله, to have good adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we never attribute negative things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We acknowledge everything is from Allah, but we don't attribute the negative to Allah ta'ala. And Allah, يَا عِبَادِ إِنَّمَا هِيَ عَمَالُكُمْ أَحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ وَفِّيكَ إِيَاهَا فَمَنْ وَجَدَ الْخَيْرَ فَلْيَحْمِدِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهِ So whoever finds good, praise Allah. Whoever finds bad, blame no one but himself. And don't blame Allah, and don't attribute negative and bad to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَصِّلِ الْأَوْقَاتِ Take advantage of your time by trying to find the wisest thing to do at every moment. Wisdom, according to Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he defines it hikmah. Al-hikmah, fi'lu al-yambaghi, doing that which is appropriate. Bil-uslubi alladhi yambaghi, in the manner that's most appropriate. Fi'l-waqti alladhi yambaghi, at the time that's appropriate. Doing that which is appropriate in the manner that's most appropriate at the time that's most appropriate. That's what wisdom is. So we should assess our situation so that we use our time in the wisest and most advantageous manner. وَعْرِفْ مَا يَذْهَبُ بِهِ لَيْلُكَ وَنَهَارُكَ And know how your nights and days pass. Know how you're spending your time. Know what's consuming your nights and your days. And if you find they're being consumed by things that don't bring any benefit to your soul, it's time to start using them in a different manner. And then he says, Rahimahullah, Imam al-Muhasibi, وَجَدِّدْ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ تَوْبَةٍ And renew your tawbah, your repentance at every time, at every instance. The Prophet ﷺ, and he's the Prophet, he said, ﷺ, Verily I repent to Allah 100 times every day. So what about us? So we should be constant istighfar with tawbah, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. In general, as a dhikr to make. And then when we fall into specific sins, try to repent from them immediately.
before we forget. وَاجْعَلْ عُمْرَكَ وَاجْعَلْ عُمْرَكَ ثَلَاثَ سَعَاتٍ. And divide your life into three times. سَعَاتٌ الْعِلْمِ, a time for knowledge. سَعَاتٌ الْعَمَلِ, and a time for worship. وَسَعَاتٌ لِهُقُوقِ نَفْسِكَ وَمَا يَلْزَمُكَ, and a time for the rights that are owed for yourself and the things that are incumbent upon you. A time to work, spend with your family, to sleep, etc. So divide into three times. Time for knowledge. And we should all have some time that we set aside for studying. And brothers who are married should help their wives in this regard. Don't put your wife in a situation where she, all of her time is spent for other people. Try to help her to spend time for herself, for her deen, to study an hour, 2 hours a day. You take the kids during those 2 hours. Or after they go to sleep, you don't burden her with your demands during that time. Give your wife space and time, and the children likewise, to study this deen. A time for worship. We should have set aside a time for intense, concentrated worship every day. Quality worship every day. And a time for the rights that are owed to ourselves, to yourself, and the things that are incumbent upon you. وَعَتَبِرْ بِمَنْ مَضَى, and take, reflect on the people who have gone before. And Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Travel to the earth and see what was the fate of those who belied the truth, of those who came before you. So we'll take a break right now for 10 minutes, inshallah, 9 minutes actually, and then we'll resume. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, subhanaka wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.